Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Struggling to figure out who is domiciled in your argument.
The domiciliaries are people who are lawfully present and have an intent to remain permanently. So that's a kind of black letter, understanding of domicile.
So this is the Supreme Court oral arguments from last week over birthright citizenship. You hear the voice of Ketanji Brown Jackson and John Sauer, the Solicitor General representing the Trump administration. And this concept of domicile or domiciliary is key to their argument. They're saying that somebody who is here legally and intending to stay is the kind of person to whom the 14th Amendment applies when it talks about being born here and subject to the jurisdiction thereof. People who are temporary visitors are not intending to stay. People who are here illegally cannot be legally domiciled here because they are here in violation of the law, even if they intend to stay. One or the other or both disqualifies you. That's the Trump administration position. And I will tell you that none of the justices were buying it. At least I didn't read any of them as buying it.
Now, normally you would think that a person who is subject to arrest at any time and removal could not establish domicile. But we have an unusual situation here because our immigration laws have been ineffectively and in some instances unenthusiastically enforced by federal officials. So there are people who are subject to removal at any time if they are apprehended and they go through the proper procedures. But they have, in their minds, made a permanent home here and have established roots. And that raises a humanitarian problem. And I wonder if you could address that.
It's a very interesting way to present it from Samuel Alito, because what he's saying is that because of lax enforcement of our border and of our immigration, the fact that people might legally be subject to deportation doesn't mean they are necessarily not domiciliaries. They want to be here, and because of the law's failure to be enforced, they even have a reasonable expectation that they will be able to live here, that they will be allowed to stay here until very recently. And for all of the years that they have done that, they're obviously citizens, because if they're not citizens of the United States, where would they be citizens of? The humanitarian problem, not of the deportation, but of the depriving of citizenship to any country, is a problem that he's raising.
On the humanitarian point, I would point out, as I said at the beginning, Justice Alito, that the United States rule of nearly unrestricted birthright citizenship is an outlier among modern nations. It's a very small minority of nations that have that rule. For example, every nation in Europe has a different rule, and the notion that they have a huge humanitarian crisis as a result of not having unrestricted birthright citizenship, I don't think is a strong argument.
And again, remember, if you were listening to me at the 5 o'clock hour, and I'll come back to this in the 7 o'clock as well, because I think it's important for us to understand this potentially momentous shift in who counts as a citizen in the United States. He keeps referring to other countries, and particularly to other countries' laws, which is a very weird position for the Solicitor General to take. And even Brett Kavanaugh calls him out on it.
You've mentioned several times the practices of other countries. And that's obviously, as a policy matter, supports what you're arguing here. But obviously, we try to interpret American law with American precedent based on American history. That's certainly what I try to do, and I think you try to do. And so why should we be thinking about, even though as a policy matter I get the point, thinking about, gee, European countries don't have this, or most other countries, many other countries in the world don't have this. Doesn't that, I guess I'm not seeing the relevance as a legal, constitutional, interpretive matter necessarily, although I understand it's a very good point as a policy matter.
And the distinction there, if you're just not as familiar with these terms, when he's talking about policy, he's talking about the arguments for whether a law is or is not good, whether it will work or not. When he's talking about the legal framework, he's talking about what the law actually says, even if it's a stupid law, what it says, and making the point that, well, this works out okay somewhere else is irrelevant to what the law actually says, and that's the only thing the Supreme Court has ever built to do. Congress can make stupid laws. They can make smart laws. The job of the court is to figure out whether they made a constitutional law, not a constitutional and smart law. That's the point there. Now, one of the other things that comes up in this conversation is this precedent, the Wong Kim Ark precedent. And Justice Sonia Sotomayor is going to ask him, you know, are you asking us to overrule Wong Kim Ark? And he says no. That's going to be the fatal problem for John Sauer. That's why I think the Trump administration is going to lose here. Not because they should lose, not because they're wrong to prefer a not all birthright citizenship approach, but because the Wong Kim Ark precedent took a Chinese couple who were here, had a child, went back to China later, and then he tried to return to the United States and was deprived immigration access because he's not a citizen by the administration. And the Supreme Court took the case and said, no, he's absolutely a citizen, even though they were temporary visitors. And subsequently, that was upheld by the exact same phraseology in the Immigration Act, meaning that Congress knew about this case and didn't choose to change anything. So depending on an interpretation of that language that would upend the Wong Kim Ark case, which they do, would mean that they need to overrule Wong Kim Ark. And he says they don't need to, which I thought was a fatal concession for him. Transgressors Memorial Service comes up next. I'll come back to this at 7:10. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you. But if you are coming off I-110 northbound and wanting to get off of the Davis Highway exit, we're seeing traffic backed up almost to the I-110 ramp there. So just be aware of that due to construction. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. If you believe the destination is the journey, you'll love exploring the all-new 2026 Subaru models. Like the all-new 2026 Subaru Outback, strikingly redesigned with sharp lines and more edge, and now with financing as low as 1.9% for 48 months. Or how about the roomy Subaru Crosstrek or the family-sized Ascent? Finance either one for 2.9% for an amazing 75 months. And the long-lasting and capable Subaru Forester. Drive one home for only 1.9% financing for 75 months. All come standard with Subaru's legendary symmetrical all-wheel drive to help you take on every journey with confidence. The all-new 2026 Subaru Outback and the 2026 Crosstrek Ascent and Forester. Love is out there. Find it in a Subaru from Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791 or online at andersonsubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
When you're a contractor juggling jobs, schedules, and suppliers, you need a partner you can count on. At Home Outlet, we work with pros every day, helping you get the products you need when you need them. From cabinets and flooring to millwork and install materials, our employee owners make it easy. You'll find in-stock options, dependable service, and products backed by our guaranteed lowest price, so you can stay on schedule and on budget. Home Outlet, better service for every project. HomeOutlet.com.
If my dog Ginger could speak English, you'd hear her say she wants her own doggy vacation at Play and Stay Pet Daycare when I go on vacation. But since she doesn't speak English, I'm going to translate. What's that? Play and Stay Pet Daycare is the only pet daycare in Pensacola with an on-site veterinarian. And they're cage-free with large indoor and outdoor play areas where you love to run and romp with your friends. So where are they? That's right. Play and Stay Pet Daycare is at 4220 North Davis Highway, across from Bailey's Farmers Market, online at olivebranchpethospital.com. Who's a good girl? Yeah.
Hi, I'm Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons, inviting you to Cops, Cars, and Crawfish this Saturday at Five Flags Speedway. This event will have a car show beginning at 7:30 until 9:30. At 10 o'clock, the gates will open. At 11 o'clock, we'll serve crawfish plates from Cubs for Crawfish. We'll have hamburgers and hot dog plates. We'll have balloon animals, games, face painting, and more for the kids. All proceeds for this event will benefit the Escambia County Sheriff Foundation and their mission to support the heroes through the Escambia County Sheriff's Office. Cops, Cars, and Crawfish this Saturday.
You don't want rumors.
You want confirmation.
News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
You want confirmation.
Informative, local, dependable.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for Disney Parks, a division of the Walt Disney Company, for their complete reversal on being an ally to us, the people of the holy acronym string. You may recall that in July of 2021, Disney made a bold announcement to stop introducing their nightly fireworks show with the phrase, "Ladies and Gentlemen," and to implement a parks-wide rebranding toward inclusion in everything from hairstyles to clothing to jewelry, even using words like friend instead of the binary sir or ma'am. And at the time, we celebrated Disney for this super rainbow-friendly rebrand that said to everyone, be our guest. But for those poor unfortunate souls who visit the Magic Kingdom now, the rainbow age is over. According to an analysis piece at the Park Place and two video recordings on X, the mouse has quietly, almost inaudibly, returned to using the phrase, ladies and gentlemen, which, given the incredibly intentional and scripted nature of everything at Disney, is certainly no accident. And of course, there is a tremendous affront to all of our non-binary and gender non-conforming otheren who do not fit within those oppressive, archaic, dichotomous categories. But what's even worse is that Disney has done this quietly, as if they are secretly apologizing for having done the right thing in the past, a sure sign that on this one day, our prince did not come. Now, it is true that the highly cis-normative phrase, ladies and gentlemen, is not quite as offensive as it once was, if only because now anyone can be a lady, and anyone can be a gentleman, or, as we prefer to say, a gentlethem. But for those who prefer neither, it's still important to accurately and actively cultivate otheren-friendly spaces. And so, I want to return to what I said in July of 2021. If Disney really wants to gain back our trust, we have a simple script they can use every night. Girls, boys, trans persons, non-gendered, polygendered, other-gendered, gender-fluid, and all who yearn for a gender category yet to be discovered. To all the he's, she's, them's, it's, others, and shazams, we affirm you all equally, dreamers of all ages. But for now, Disney has again taken a bite of the poisoned apple of the gender binary and must be canceled. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, Victor Glover, crew member of the Artemis II mission and the first black astronaut to go anywhere near the moon. But that's exactly the reason we must cancel him, because he balked over celebrating the importance of his own blackness when asked about this unique historical achievement.
I want to highlight, I guess, maybe one facet of this is the tension, I call it. I live in this, you know, this dichotomy between happiness that a young woman can look at Christina and just physicalize her passion or her interest, or even if it's not something she wants to do, she can just be like, girl power, and that's awesome. And that young brown boys and girls can look at me and go, hey, he looks like me and he's doing what? And that's great. I love that.
Now, I know it sounds like a decent enough answer so far, but wait for the second part. After the comma but.
I also hope we are pushing the other direction, that one day we don't have to talk about these first, that one day this is just, and I listen to this, that this is the human history. It's about human history. It's the story of humanity, not black history, not women's history, but that it becomes human history.
No, this is so disappointing. Here we literally have the first black astronaut going to the moon, and he wants to sidestep his own blackness and instead talk about all the humanity instead of the individual minority and oppressed groups represented on that flight. Women, black men, Canadians. We finally have exactly the kind of diverse mission crew we always dreamt of, and all they can do is act like none of that matters? The only way we can continue to always play one race or gender off against another is if we never let them think of themselves as playing for Team Humanity. They must always be playing for Team White Female, or Team Black Male, or Team Gay Left-Handed Canadian. Not that there's anything wrong with that. So no, Victor Glover, you had your chance, and you chose to shout unity instead of diversity, and that is an unforgivable transgression. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, I am absolutely thrilled to award this week's All-Natural Wood Flute of Justice Award with four corduroy paisleys to Canadian Member of Parliament Leah Gazan, a member of the New Democratic Party, a socialist organization whose members despise the leftist Liberal Party for not being leftist enough. In a scathing critique of Prime Minister Mark Carney's budget priorities, Gazan casually raised the stakes on wokeness certification standards by profoundly expanding our categories of inclusion.
They provided $0 to deal with the ongoing genocide of MMIWG2SLGBTQQIA+. This is abhorrent. This is callous.
Callous and abhorrent indeed. And no, this is not a recommended strong password from the IT department. This is our new official holy acronym string, and wow, 16 characters long. For those of you who may not yet have digested the meaning of this new label, MMIWG2SLGBTQQIA+ stands for Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women, Girls, and Two-Spirit, Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Transgender, Queer, Questioning, Intersex, Asexual, plus more.
Indigenous women across this country, Indigenous women, girls, 2SLGBTQQIA+, are not safe.
So yes, in addition to sexual orientation and gender identity, now being murdered or missing is a category of inclusion for us, which makes sense because these are all varieties of exploitation and oppression, and what's more exploitative than murder?
Not in the national interest of Indigenous women and girls 2SLGBTQQIA+.
Now, you may notice two things here. First, even Gazan herself clearly recognizes that a 16-character holy acronym string is clunky and unwieldy. That's why she shortens it to merely the last 11 in subsequent references. But that's a problem because are missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls not equally significant? Omitting their letters is omitting them. And as we always say, to omit one is to omit all. So despite starting a good work, any effort to condense the sequence in any way is an othering, an exclusion, a marginalizing, microaggression, at least level 3. Remember your training. Verbal clunkiness is a feature, not a bug. The pain of saying a new word reminds us of the virtue signal the saying sends. Awkwarder is virtuer. And that brings us to the second observation. Notice how absolutely normal and flawless her delivery is.
Is the Prime Minister okay having Indigenous women 2SLGBTQQIA+?
Clearly, Gazan has spent good hours practicing the new initialism. She knows that for this to work, it must not only be presented as correct, but it must be treated as so completely unremarkable that it becomes the new norm. And of course, we're all probably going to need to practice saying this a lot in order to pretend it's a normal thing to say. Even I must admit I haven't mastered it just yet. I sometimes forget how many M's to use or whether the first Q stands for queer or questioning. It's queer, by the way. So yes, the deadpan elocution is precisely the right level of enthusiastic blandness a new term requires, because deadpan means boring and boring means normal.
This Prime Minister has turned his back on Indigenous peoples, particularly Indigenous women and girls 2SLGBTQQIA+.
Remember Johannending's important footnote on weird norming from Article 56-7y(alpha)(14) of the Language Revolutionary's Guide? You know, where it talks about weird norming? Weird norming is the key to cultural revolution. Simultaneously, you must make the old normal seem weird and make the new weird seem normal. Done properly, it makes the target doubt their own recollection of what used to be normal, and thus is a key strategy for cultural gaslighting. When you use a term like MMIWG2SLGBTQQIA+, as if you're simply mentioning the color beige, you make the unevolved question whether the term is even unusual. And yes, you must say the new string casually, effortlessly, and with as straight a face as if you were describing the weather. The situation does, however, raise another interesting opportunity for us to finally create an unholy acronym string for our opponents. But who are they? And what letters of humanity do they claim? Well, they're married, monogamous, and heterosexual, so we could start with MMH. But they're also binary and identify as their sex assigned at birth, so BISAB. Put it all together and you get MMHBISAB, or perhaps just BISAB for short. And these BISABs demand that everyone else treat them like the norm. They create tax incentives for married filing jointly and tax deductions for offspring. They demand special titles like Mr. and Mistress, often shortened to Mrs. And they make the single, the unmarried, the child-free, the infertile, and the divorced all feel lesser, to one degree or another, which means they are even more marginalized groups we might consider acquiring for our ranks. Adding single, unmarried, child-free, infertile, and divorced persons, or SUCFID, SUCFID, to our own acronym string on their behalf would be delightful. There are so many people they've brainwashed into thinking that bisabuality is the norm and that there's something defective with you if you aren't a bisab already, or at least hoping to become one. So even while we honor the legitimacy of MMIWG2SLGBTQQIA+, with the goal of adding SUCFID to the fold, we know that we must be constantly working to make the MMH bisabs of this world feel like they're the weirdos and we're the normies. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, brethren, sisterin, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words. Give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
I'm still trying to get my letters straight. M-M-I, and then I lost count after that.
She did it perfectly. She had it even memorized. Didn't even have to look at her notes.
Wow.
It's impressive.
That is very impressive.
That's how you weird Norm effectively.
All right, so let's look at traffic real quick. Brought to you by Frontier Motors. It's the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends at Pensacola. That's Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. No accidents to report to you right now. And let's see here. I-10 is looking good. Highway 90, 98 are all flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
David Wayne is in the newsroom with a headline or two for us. David?
I just don't know how you kept all those acronyms straight.
I know.
I couldn't have done it. I'm not an acronym guy. That's why I didn't get very far in the military, I guess.
Oh, you're a BISAB. That's your problem.
Well, I have a lot of problems. I guess that's one of them.
That's one of them.
The Artemis II crew is on their way home, Andrew. The Orion spacecraft carrying the four astronauts will splash down tonight in the Pacific Ocean. That's all.
All right. You know what I wonder? Remember when the capsules were coming down for Blue Origin here off the Gulf? The Gulf, and you had these boaters go out and try to get close to it, dummies. I wonder if they'll have that problem in San Diego.
Fox News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. Vice President J.D. Vance is heading to Pakistan today to lead peace talks with Iran. It is day three of a ceasefire, but Israeli strikes on Lebanon threaten the pause.
The obstacle is Iranian proxy Hezbollah. Israel has intensified airstrikes into the south of Lebanon, in fact, all the way up to Beirut, with the intention of disarming Hezbollah, stopping the rocket fire. They claim to have killed some 200 Hezbollah operatives. Iran says that's a violation of the ceasefire, but the U.S. and Israel insist Lebanon is not part of the ceasefire.
That's Fox's Mike Tobin. Astronauts aboard the Artemis II preparing to splash down tonight.
At nearly 24,000 miles per hour, the capsule must strike Earth's atmosphere at just the right angle to slow to a parachute-assisted splashdown at less than 20 miles per hour.
Fox's Jonathan Seri, splashdown set for 8:07 p.m. Eastern Time. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. It's 60 degrees. We've got clear skies, looking like it'll be a very nice day. We're going to get to our full forecast with Brooke Richardson. That's up in just a few minutes. The 12-year-old that was accused of stabbing two students and a school employee at Walton Middle School, Walton County, last month, has now been indicted as an adult. A Walton County grand jury indicting Landon Robinson on charges including attempted first-degree premeditated murder. Investigators say Robinson armed himself with a knife and brought a mask from home before the March 24th attack, put the mask on in a school bathroom, then randomly stabbed his victims in a hallway. After fleeing the school, they say Robinson threw the knife into a retention pond. It was later recovered by investigators. The two student victims had been in the hospital in critical condition following the attack. A civil lawsuit against the Santa Rosa County School Board over a sexual assault at Gulf Breeze High School has been settled. The assault occurred in the boys' locker room March of 2024 when a female basketball player entered to retrieve practice balls. The settlement amount was not disclosed due to the involvement of a minor. The school board did not admit wrongdoing. Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons says a deputy that was disciplined for a confrontation with a First Amendment auditor will be returning to duty after an internal review. The incident happened last Friday and involved a deputy arguing with a man, recording video from a public roadway near the Islamic Center of Northwest Florida.
The Constitution allows for an individual to stand in a public place and also allows for someone to record or video what he or she could see or hear from this public vantage point. We train for this type of encounter, and our expectation is that our employees abide by our core values, regardless of the actions of others.
And Simmons did not specify what measures were taken in regards to the incident, but did say the deputy would be returning to duty. Florida Attorney General James Uthmeyer's launched an investigation into OpenAI and its ChatGPT chatbot over alleged harms to children and connections to the FSU mass shooting last year. Uthmeyer says subpoenas are forthcoming. OpenAI says they plan to cooperate with that investigation. Now, the Escambia County Sheriff Foundation's biggest fundraiser of the year is happening tomorrow. Sheriff Chip Simmons says that's shaping up to be a great time. Cops, Cars, and Crawfish takes over Five Flags Speedway this weekend with a car show, crawfish plates, canine demonstrations, and sheriff's office vehicles on display.
Come out there, and you can see as many cops as you want. You can see as many, you know, we have our canines out there. A lot of our vehicles will be out there. The van that we just spoke of will be out there. And again, just be a fabulous time. Cubs Crawfish will be selling the crawfish plates for you. And it's just, again, a start of the summer, and it is a wonderful event.
And Sheriff Simmons says if you want to participate in that car show, you can still register for that up to tomorrow morning. Admission for the event as a spectator is free. Check out the Escambia Sheriff Foundation website for more details. No tax dollars are used to fund this event. It's 6:34 at News Radio 92.3. Let's check in with John Pickens, who's got our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Just one accident on the books right now over in Navarre. It's Navarre Parkway and Mooring Drive. We had a vehicle accident with roadblock there, so that's causing, in both directions, some delays. I-10, I-110 are rolling smoothly, not seeing any delays there. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
We are going to be looking at some beautiful sunny skies today. Temperatures warming up, getting around 78 degrees for your high. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 61. For Saturday, nice sunny skies, high near 80 degrees. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 63. Heading into Sunday, mostly sunny skies, high near 80 degrees. And Sunday night, temperatures dropping near 64. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. 60 degrees right now. We've got clear skies. Our next news at 7 and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Oil prices are slightly elevated amid persistent tensions around the Strait of Hormuz, with the vital shipping lane still largely closed despite a ceasefire deal between the U.S. and Iran. West Texas Intermediate currently hovering at $98 per barrel, Brent currently at $95. Yields on Treasury were largely flat this morning, heading into the final trading day of the week, with a key CPI print due out later today, expecting to show a jump in headline inflation. The yield on the 10-year U.S. Treasury note was little changed at 4.297%. A Senate hearing for Federal Reserve Chair Dominique Kevin Warsh will not be held next week as planned. CNBC reports the committee set to hear Warsh's nomination hasn't received the paperwork that it needs with enough time to schedule the hearing. The Trump administration is hoping to get Warsh to replace Chair Jerome Powell by mid-May. Futures are currently mixed as traders monitor the Iran conflict. Yesterday, the Dow gained 275. The NASDAQ up 187. That's Your Money Now.
I know that hiring can be challenging. You sort through tons of resumes and you get too many so-so applicants. You're just waiting for someone to match your role perfectly. Well, now, there's a place where you can meet them fast. ZipRecruiter.
Need to hire right away. Start your search for strong candidates. The right fit awaits. Team, build it sooner. Meet your match on ZipRecruiter.
Just head to ZipRecruiter.com/free right now to try it for free, and you're on your way to meeting your match. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. So try it now. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Meet your match on ZipRecruiter.
You know, I'm always talking to you about Christina Leavenworth. And one of the things that I don't maybe talk about this enough is that she is really trying her best to work in your best interest. And that means that sometimes she's actually going to tell you things you don't want to hear. But that's what you want from a professional who understands the field and the issues and the dynamics better than you do, is maybe to challenge you on some of the things you assume. And one of the things, it's one of the weirdest stories, but she's told me this has happened many times, is somebody says, I want to sell my home. Okay, cool. Where do you want to move? Over here. Okay, fine. Why? Well, give her reasons. And then she's like, you know what? Honestly, I don't think that moving is going to solve your problem. I don't think that moving is going to make you happier. I don't think you should sell your home. And you say, a real estate agent is telling somebody not to sell their home? Yeah, because she genuinely didn't believe, in at least one case I know we talked about this, where that person wouldn't, it wouldn't make her happy. And she agreed with her in the end. She's like, you know what? You're right. What you've explained. Oh, my God. A real estate agent who deliberately talks somebody out of earning a commission off of her? Yeah, because Christina knows that she's trying to help people and to feel good about every decision she makes so she can be proud of it later. So, yeah, literally talk somebody out of using her because she thought that that would not make that person's life better. That's the kind of person you want guiding your big decisions. 850-786-3996 or Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty.
The Santa Rosa County Youth Livestock Show is tomorrow, beginning at 9 a.m. at the Santa Rosa County Fairgrounds, 8700 Randy Brown Road in East Milton. Blue-butted hogs and cattle will be shown all day and auctioned at 6 p.m. Families with kids who want to show animals should come out. There will be bounce houses and barbecue for your kids, too. Brought to you by Santa Rosa Medical Center, Adams Homes, Cox Communications, and Pinelands Nursery. The Santa Rosa County Youth Livestock Show, feeding the future.
My name is Christine, and I'm a widow. My husband, Ryan, was a healthy 34-year-old, and 3 months later, he was gone. Thankfully, he had life insurance. Ethos made it so easy. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. 100% online, no medical exam. Life insurance didn't take away the loss, but it did give us the space to just grieve.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/save. ethos.com/save. Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
Bands on the Beach is brought to you by the Santa Rosa Island Authority every Tuesday night at 7 on Pensacola Beach. Bring a blanket or a lawn chair and enjoy live music at the stage on Pensacola Beach. There's plenty of room to spread out and enjoy the sand, the sunset, and great live music. This week, the White Sands Panhandle Band takes the stage. You'll hear everything from Marty Stewart to Mary Raven to Charlie Daniels all at Bands on the Beach this Tuesday night. Don't forget, pets or glass not allowed.
You know what keeps most people up at night?
It's not politics.
It's money. Dave Ramsey helps you take control of it one decision at a time. Real callers, real situations, and straight talk about getting out of debt, building wealth, and finally telling your money where to go.
Where to go.
Instead of wondering where it went.
Where it went.
Dave Ramsey, weeknights 7 to 10 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative,
informative,
local,
local,
dependable.
Dependable.
However, as a clerk, my decision stands. I've put it in writing. I've made statements as to what our property taxes in the general fund should pay. This is not what we pay. I hope that all of you can write a personal check. Most of you in this room make a pretty good income. Most of you in this dais do as well. This is where our community steps up and contributes to schools.
This is Pam Childers, of course, the Escambia County Clerk of the Courts and Comptroller. That means she's the auditor for the county. And explaining her decision to not pay the check for $1,000 to the Washington High girls basketball team for their travel expenses related to their state championship. It's been in the news quite a bit, but I'm just, you know, getting you ready for us to have this conversation. You know, of course, the commissioners pitched a big fit. She said, I don't care. I know what I know. It does not satisfy the county purpose test. And therefore, I cannot pay that, even though it's a good thing, even though I have fundraised for Washington High School for all four of my children when they played sports there. And she ongoing actively fundraises for all kinds of things still. It's a good thing, but it's not a county good thing. And therefore, she will not pay it. And she wrote a column for the PNJ that came out on, let's see, I got through the Sunday, Saturday, something like this, and in which she address the county. You may have heard that I refused to write a check from the county's treasury to Booker T. Washington High School to pay for a school sports program out of commissioner's discretionary funds. Discretionary funds are public money derived from the collection of property taxes. Property taxes are imposed not only by the county government, but also by the Escambia County School District. Failing to pay either allows the government to take your property. Article 7, Section 9 of the Florida Constitution sets real limitations on the collection and spending of taxes. In short, Florida statutes, chapters 125 and 1011, authorize school districts to levy property taxes for school purposes and counties to levy property taxes for county purposes. Florida Supreme Court in Dixon v. Stone, 251 Southern, that's a 1971 case, concluded that when a tax is raised for a specific purpose, it must also be spent for that same purpose. Therefore, revenue raised from property taxes levied by the county must be used for county purposes, and taxes levied by the school district must be used for school purposes. These principles apply to each of the five commissioners' discretionary funds. The specific discretionary funding request that recently made the news was for essential basketball gear and equipment for the Booker T. Washington High School girls basketball program. Essential basketball gear and equipment for a school sports program represents a classic example of a school purpose expenditure. Therefore, the payment cannot come from property tax revenues levied by the county government. The core issue is not whether the spending feels good, but whether the spending serves a legitimate purpose of county government. Let's be clear. The commissioner's improper use of discretionary funds and are not just monies given for school purposes. Far from it. For years, discretionary spending has been improperly used for golf tournaments, charity fundraising events, galas, and other expenditures that appear to be currying favor. The funds appropriated to the discretionary line item have now become individual slush funds, and that is how it works in Escambia County. It's $50,000 apiece. It does have to get approved by a majority of the board, but it is treated as the individual commissioner's money, with some interesting exceptions we won't get into right now. Some commissioners are under the impression they can use tax dollars deemed discretionary funds for any purpose they want if they have the votes of a majority of the commission. As an example, the clerk's office denied payment of a fine assessed against a county employee because payment of the fine with taxpayer dollars served only a private purpose, not a county purpose, as in they benefited that person. The county responded with a lawsuit to force payment from a commissioner's discretionary fund. Interestingly, the county dropped the lawsuit before summary judgment after my office found in the discovery documents that the county attorney, Allison Rogers, wrote, in Florida law, there's no public lawful public purpose for the payment of the fine and cost of prosecution. Meaning she found in discovery that the own internal legal advice had been, you can't pay this, which they went ahead and did anyway. So she says, look, a close level analysis of every transaction isn't workable, but when the expenditures increasingly drift into waste, fraud, and abuse categories, my duty requires me to shift from deference, as in giving them the benefit of the doubt, to scrutiny, which is not giving them the benefit of the doubt. When wasteful spending occurs with greater frequency inside a defined category of county government, that like schools, then I know the guardrails of the broader county system have failed and the public trust demands a sharper lens. I do not dispute that the county commission determines what constitutes a county purpose, but that determination has limitations. Contrary to the commission's assertion, the determination is not absolute just because the words county purpose are used. If that were the case, the commission would be at liberty to give $1 million, not just $1,000, to any charity or private person of their choosing just because the commission said the words county purpose. That's not the law in Florida. Florida Constitution places real limits on how county tax dollars are spent, and I am, as the auditor of Escambia County, duty-bound to enforce those real limitations. All right. We'll take a quick break, talk to John Pickens, and then we'll come back and discuss this a little bit. I wanted you to, if you had not read her column at the PNJ, I read you about 80% of it. I skipped just a couple of pieces for time, but I get you the essential bit of what Pam Childers wrote, and then we'll talk about it. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still working that one accident on Navarre Parkway going, it's going eastbound. Traffic is backed up all the way past the Navarre Beach Bridge. That's the Navarre Parkway and Mooring Drive. So pack your patience with that one. So far, it's a 12-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. So a couple of elements here. First, I think I might have missed it. I think it was, I said for travel expenses, but she said it was for actual equipment. It's fine. I mean, either way. But the essence here is what counts as a county purpose. And especially when the school district is there to raise property taxes in order to spend on school things, what she's saying is the county should not be spending county money on school things, even though the school board would be justified in having millage be used for this purpose. The county is not, any more than the school board would not be justified in using things for a county purpose that are not related to schools. So it's kind of a two-pot sort of issue. And she even said in the conversation with the county commission, look, use law enforcement trust fund money. That would be allowed. Use even tourism development tax money if you're going to argue that this is a tourism event because it's raising the profile of Escambia County statewide or nationwide through TV and other kinds of exposure. But it's not a county purpose. So that's kind of part one. There are a couple of important questions or issues surrounding this. One is, can something be dual purpose? And there are cases where things can be dual purpose, like it can be a county and a school purpose because building a park next to a school that is going to serve as the school's football field, let's say, if it's open to the public, it's both county and school. And you could see how that would be kind of a hybrid purpose. And maybe the amount of funding contributed from each group, if it was all by the county and it was going to be used exclusively by the school, would that count? But you get the point of there being a hybrid. There's actually this odd little case, an attorney general's opinion about the use of dirt by the county commission for a school district soccer field, where the attorney general said this was acceptable. Okay. Even though dirt is a commodity, is a precious thing, is that once you take it out of the ground, it has value. And then using it for a school purpose seems like you're using county resources and wealth for a school purpose. Is that allowed? The attorney general had said yes in that particular case. You also have the problem for Pam, I think, that sort of against her side, which is that she's issued these checks in a lot before and they've been done historically. And so the county commission, which have said, we've always done it this way, why are you changing the rules now? And I hope this is not the case, but, you know, there's been the claim at least that, you know, if things have been issued improperly in the past, once her signature's on it, she's liable for it. That would suck if there's all these expenditures in the past that really aren't acceptable under the correct interpretation of the rule, even if we haven't been following it. I sure hope that is not the case. But there's also the argument to be made that if we have been doing it wrong all this time, it's better to stop doing it wrong than to continue doing it because we've always done it that way, right? Which, weirdly, there's a kind of a parallelism here with the case over citizenship, right? The Trump administration is saying we've been doing it wrong all this time and we should stop doing it wrong. Even if we've always done it this way, it doesn't make it right to continue. So, you know, just kind of tying some of these stories together we've been talking about today. There's also an issue, and this is important to bring up. On the issue of the discretionary spending, it's not as simple as whether you like or dislike discretionary spending. But that is a question you might ask yourself in thinking about this issue. I personally dislike discretionary spending. I don't think that the commissioners, especially in a single member elected district like we have in Escambia County, I don't think that the tax money should be given to Lumen May, my commissioner, to give to some, you know, charitable event, because I can give to charity and he can give to charity and lots of people can give to charity. But I don't think my tax dollars should be used that way. That's not really the issue. It's whether it's a lawful expense, whether it serves a county purpose, right? Are we talking about any sort of discretionary money or just the kind that's for, say, individual or school or not county purpose benefit? Because you might believe in discretionary money in general with limitations. There's also the question of, again, do you support it versus is it legal? And here's my solution. This is not available. This is maybe not even legal, but I do have an idea. Okay. And by the way, I did think before that I thought Pam was 100% correct and I thought the county was 100% wrong. I think Pam is 75 to 80% right and the county is 25% wrong. But I think it's probably going to take a court case to figure it out. And there is enough argument on the other side, for example, about, you know, dual purpose, mingling of the streams. Can benefiting a school purpose still serve a county purpose? I'm sure their lawyers would make that argument, and that's going to be the question. So this may not be the best bright line test case of whether she can ever veto certain expenditures in discretionary, but it is the one that's gotten the most attention because it's obviously a pretty, you know, emotional issue and people want to support girls' sports and sports and, of course, Washington High and all of that. Okay, but here's my idea. Here's my suggestion. I wish we had a line item on our property tax bill that was like the line item on your IRS tax return that allows you to give or not give money to the presidential reelection or election fund. I wish there was a discretionary charity line item on the property tax where I could check a box, 0, 20, 50, 100, or maybe other for, you know, a blank if you want to write in a number. And then if I don't want Lumen May to give money to charity on my behalf as my commissioner, I put zero because I'd rather give the money. But if I trust his judgment and his knowledge of circumstances and his people and what he thinks is county purpose or on my behalf, then he can more wisely give the aggregate of all of our $20 or $50 donations to the county because maybe we think that he's a better steward of that money than we are. I mean, you might believe that. And if you believe that, then you should give to the discretionary fund. So my solution to this is, since it is controversial and since some people believe in it and some people do not believe in it, and since it is so subject to abuse or the perception of abuse or to philosophical arguments about what is or is not a... just make it a voluntary thing. Make it my discretion of whether you have discretion. And we solve the problem. No, I don't think they're going to go for that, but That would be my answer to this particular conundrum. Hey, if John, do you think they're going to go for that?
No.
No, because they don't want to give her their $50,000 a year.
Well, right. But if she's not writing the checks.
437-1620, 437-1620. If you agree, disagree, have a question, whatever you want to say. Hey, if you have a roof repair that needs done, or you have a roof replacement that needs done, or you have a roof issue and you're not quite sure exactly what it needs, or maybe you're thinking to yourself, gosh, if I mobilize Quality Roofing Solutions to come out for a repair, and then in 2 years I got to replace the whole roof anyway, did I really gain anything since I'm going to have to pay to mobilize again and pay for the whole roof? And also, in the meantime, you might be missing out on insurance savings because maybe you get a better enough roof that it gets a wind mitigation inspection report and you can cut your insurance, your property insurance, from a lot to a little. In fact, some people can cut it in half. I mean, just, okay, these are all the questions. So call Quality Roofing Solutions, have them come look. For 20 years, since 2006, Brian Ward and his folks have been helping people build or rebuild 10,000 roofs. And about 90% of what they do is full roof and about 10% is repair. And there's a place for each one, but they'll help you walk through this. They'll help you think about the choice. I had a good friend who used them recently because I do the ads for them, and she said, hey, they were not the cheapest, they were not the most expensive, but they definitely did what they said they were going to do. They treated me with respect and courtesy, and I'm satisfied, very, very satisfied. A 4.9 rating on Google, which is amazing. As I said, 10,000 roofs. They warranty the roofs for a lifetime workmanship, which is amazing. Nobody does that. 777-0961 for qualityroofingsolutions.com. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. We're still dealing with the accident that happened on 98 eastbound as the Mooring Drive. Traffic is backed up way past the Navarre Beach Bridge. So now we're expecting about a 30-minute delay in that area. But other than that, I-10, I-110, everything else is flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 91% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for the summer and fall semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. That's pensacolastate.edu to learn more.
I'm Terry Village Shishadi, former commanding officer of Naval Air Station Pensacola, and I wanted to personally invite you all to join us on May 8th for the second annual Pensacola Navy Days Golf Tournament presented by Astro Lincoln. It's going to be held on board Naval Air Station Pensacola at the historic A.C. Reed Golf Course. There's going to be some great giveaways, contests throughout the course, and we're going to finish up the day with an awesome award ceremony. So to find out more, go on PensacolaNavyDays.org and click on the events page. Come on out and support Pensacola Navy Days and our incredible military community.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
When storms pop up fast, it helps to already know where to go.
We've got all the details.
News Radio 92.3. 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Wow! What a difference! Blockbuster video!
Come discover the Blockbuster difference. Wow.
Please be kind. Rewind. How do you rewind a DVD? Don't ask, son. 6:58 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. You know what I'm actually sad about? I don't any longer own any of my old Blockbuster employee polos. I wish I had at least
what
one.
What happened to them?
They went away over the years.
You may fit in them one day.
One day. David is in the newsroom with our headlines. David.
Well, Vice President J.D. Vance has arrived in Pakistan ahead of the U.S.-Iran peace talks. Pakistan has agreed to mediate the talks. U.S. negotiators are including U.S. envoy Steve Witkoff and Trump's son-in-law Jared Kushner. Settlement's now been reached between the state of Maryland and the owners of the cargo ship that crashed into the Baltimore Bridge. The Dolly container ship crashed into the Francis Scott Key Bridge back in 2024, caused the collapse. And Maryland Attorney General says that it resolves only a portion of the state's claims. And officials here in Florida are now investigating ChatGPT and OpenAI over allegations that they were used in the planning of the FSU shooting last year.
Yeah, we're going to have to talk to Jimmy Patronis. I know he's got views about that as well, that AI was used, you know, in the planning of that. So we'll talk to him about that on Monday for sure. Hey, I have a pair of tickets to tomorrow's Burger Battle by the Bay at 1:30 Community Maritime Park. But you have to pick them up today, as in this day during business hours. So if you want to go and eat a bunch of great burgers tomorrow, Community Maritime Park, be caller number 2 right now, 437-1620. This is a great event. We'll talk about citizenship coming up next.